Morning. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. And I haven't seen this lovely woman in a long time. Way too long.
Way too long.
Jen Bosworth. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to see you.
I'm happy to see you, too. Yeah. It's been too long.
Yeah, we have a thing at our house about you now. In the middle of the night.
Wait a minute.
I know.
All right.
I know. We have to say that my husband's in love with Nick.
Yes, Miles is a lovely man.
But he has a habit of when he cannot sleep, he turns you on. Oh, wait a minute.
No, just at this point, don't worry
about
it.
Okay. The whole show is just
yeah, exactly.
It's just out of context. But yeah. He will turn the radio on and you are on.
Yeah.
And I always say, and then I get hooked and all of a sudden it's 5 a.m. And I say, it's the line in our house is, it's too stimulating. He's too Nick's too stimulating.
Yeah.
Turn off. It's very stimulating. And then we talk about cucumbers and
right. Now you know Esmeralda, right?
I do. Hi.
Hi.
We're Facebook friends.
We are.
Now Esmeralda rules.
Yeah.
Now the last time that you were here, Esmeralda was not a permanent part of the show.
Right.
She is now.
I know.
And it's awesome. I just want to say that. It's,
I
work with the two coolest people that you could possibly work with on a radio
show. Fantastic.
So everybody else, doesn't matter.
See you later.
Be jealous because
right.
I have Dan Chigrou and I have Esmeralda Leon.
They are jealous.
Yeah, they should be.
Oh, yeah.
They should be. So this is going to be fun to have Esmeralda here and all that
fun.
Cool stuff. So as you are here because it's always a lot of fun. And Esmeralda, Jen and I were talking off the air a little bit that it just can't be about the surprise, right? That's
right,
what you were saying about the cat being surprised.
Look, there's got to be people that have dropped things or placed things. And who are these people that are just like laying various vegetables behind their cats?
But, well, that's the main question that you and I were talking about off the air. How was this discovered? Did someone go, I'm going to go put a cucumber behind my cat. And see what and see what happens.
That's the strangest thing.
Yeah, how does that enter your mind?
Right.
You sit there and go, you know what, I'm bored. I'm putting a cucumber behind the cat.
Right. Let's just see what happens.
And okay, Jen, hang on.
Yeah.
I talked too much in the first segment.
Okay.
And I like to be on time, so we're going to take a quick break.
Let's hit it.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. Jen Bosworth is here, and the news is next. Good morning, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday, yeah, man, yeah. Foot cheese and omelet head.
What's foot cheese?
Okay, let me explain.
This sounds so gross.
That's Jen Bosworth, by the way. Hi, Jen.
Hey.
A pinch hitter here at WGN, and I'm happy to.
I'm so happy to say that.
I've known Jen for a long time, and she's a great performer, a great writer, a great storyteller.
Oh.
Her husband is my biggest fan.
Yes.
And Jen is back performing, and she's been very busy, which I like.
Yeah.
I don't like that I haven't seen you.
No, I don't like
that. I don't like that you haven't been on my show in a while.
I know.
But I do like the reasons why.
Yes. It's not that I'm
You're working.
Depressed.
Right.
Yeah.
You're working. You're getting back into performing. You're actually an understudy in a play.
I am.
But foot cheese. Yeah, you want an explanation?
Yeah.
Well, we're building up a morning zoo here.
Got it.
Okay. And we have we keep the morning zoo. Dan, where do we keep the morning zoo? In a different room. And we let them out every once in a while.
Right. Johnny B's old studio.
Okay, we keep them in Johnny.
Oh, Lord.
Keep them in Johnny B's old studio.
Okay.
Sorry. So we now have a bunch of wacky morning zoo people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we have foot cheese.
Oh.
We have omelet head.
Oh.
We have Undergarment. She's our hot intern.
Oh, my God.
Undergarment. We have Olive Loaf.
Olive Loaf? That one. Who is that? Olive Loaf. I don't know.
Olive Loaf. Olive Loaf is a Mary Vandeveld's a big fan of Olive Loaf.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we enjoy Olive Loaf.
Okay. He's the grumpy engineer.
Yeah. Grumpy engineer. Perfect. Perfect.
He's in Johnny B's studio going, how come I'm not pressing any buttons?
Yeah, right. Right.
The sound in here sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
By the way, somebody from the 708 did text it, don't forget undergarment.
Undergarment. Okay, I'm sorry. Undergarment is the guy's
Everybody's got their favorite. Most of the guys like undergarment.
She's hot. Right. That's why they like undergarment.
Right.
Yeah, undergarment. There's going to be an undergarments on Michigan Avenue. So, and who, am I forgetting anybody? Foot cheese.
What about
undergarment?
Fartula.
Well, Count Fartula is only during Halloween.
I know, but
and Fartenstein. They're only during Halloween.
Okay.
They're sleeping. They're sleeping in. They're sleeping in an office drawer on the other side of the. But anyway,
so you have a whole,
so that's our our growing crew, and we seem to get new members every week.
Yeah.
And so, but you ask about foot cheese. Foot cheese is because of Esmeralda.
What?
Yeah, Esmeralda likes to scrape her feet.
Wait,
so
wait a minute. We got cucumbers and scraping feet.
Yeah.
And what's happening?
Yeah. It's gotten very weird since you...
I know.
It's gotten weird is when Esmeralda got here. That's when the weird...
Wow.
You know what I think it started getting weird?
What?
Is when I quit drinking.
Ha!
Honest to God,
that's
I think
fantastic.
The show got weirder. I think the show got... And Dan, and Dan is shaking his head yes.
Yeah. Well,
the show got weirder when I stopped drinking.
All of a sudden, Dan, it's like it's a little like Twin Peaks-y in
right.
here. All of a sudden, it's like one-eyed Jacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is what happens when you get sober, everybody.
You just get wacky.
You scrape your feet and you put cucumbers behind cats. This is what happens when you don't drink. You just start doing stuff. So anyway, explain.
Yeah.
Let's go back in time, Esmeralda, my love, and tell her, tell Jen, my love.
What's going on?
We're both. You guys are both my loves.
Oh.
And so is Dan. Dan's my bae.
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's off the rails.
Yeah, Jen is like, what the hell is happening?
I've been gone 2 months
You've been back since I quit drinking.
Yes, but things have changed.
He's learned new words. That's all.
Like foot cheese, new phrases.
I wasn't like illiterate when I was drinking.
No, but I'm telling you.
I could still read and kind of speak.
Yeah, it was just, this is special.
It's like he's learning new words. He never knew the words foot and cheese when he was drinking.
You never knew bae.
Oh, bae.
No, I didn't know bae. Yeah. Well, I knew it, but to me it was like you sit on the dock there. That's what
God,
that's
Esmeralda.
What. No, shit, that was the bay that I knew. You whistled like Otis Redding.
Yeah.
That's what. Okay. So Esmeralda,
what's the foot?
Okay.
Scraping?
Explain. She just had. Jen is very. I'm looking at Jen's face right now.
I don't know what's happening.
She has no idea what the hell she's walked into.
I mean, this is a different show.
This is why, Jen. This is why you can't not do the show for 3 months.
No, I gotta come more often.
That's right.
So I can monitor.
What did you just say?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Where's the cucumber?
where's the cucumber? Hello, everybody. What the hell is what? All right.
Anyway.
Esmeralda, explain the origin of foot cheese, if you will.
Right. So we were talking about as seen on TV items.
Right.
And I brought up the whole thing with the pet egg.
What?
And how I really enjoyed it.
Explain what the pet egg is. I guess Jen doesn't know what the pet
egg is. So it looks like an egg.
Okay.
It has a cover, and you just, it's essentially like a cheese. Have you seen a cheese grater?
Yes, I have
seen a cheese grater. She didn't quit drinking.
I didn't quit drinking. I never started.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's essentially a cheese grater for your foot.
You
scrub it, and the little thing has a compartment where it catches all the dry.
So you've got the dry parts on your feet, your toes and stuff, the calluses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You get this thing, it's shaped like an egg. It's got like a little cheese grater thing on it. You scrape it, and all the shavings go inside the egg.
Yes. What do you do with the shavings?
You throw them out. Throw them away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't sprinkle them on your mustard chili.
You put it right on your... Parmesan.
Cucumber.
You use it as Parmesan.
Right.
You put it on your cucumber.
Well, that's where it came from because I kept calling the stuff inside the egg foot cheese.
Oh, my God.
Right?
This is something else.
That's right, Esmeralda, correct?
Yeah, pretty
much. Esmeralda, you have really joined the wacky train. This is a wacky train.
So
here.
Foot cheese. That's foot how cheese. That. Dan, is that? Does that sound like the correct explanation?
According to Wikipedia, it is.
Foot cheese. All right.
So that's foot cheese.
Okay.
Undergarment.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Okay, undergarment.
Is Esmeralda involved in undergarment, too?
Esmeralda is involved in everything on the show.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. But undergarment came about because we were talking about, was it Caddyshack? Is that how that one started?
Yes, because of Lacey.
Lacey Underall.
Yes.
Because the character that Cindy Morgan plays in Lacey Underall is in Caddyshack, is named Lacey Underall.
Right.
So I said, yeah, undergarment, because that's, so that's who undergarment.
I love it.
Olive Loaf came about because I talked about Olive Loaf, and when I sat in for Steve Cochran one morning, when I filled in for Steve Cochran, which I'll be doing tomorrow morning, by the way.
Woohoo!
Wednesday morning, 5, I'll be filling in for Steve Cochran. I wanted it to be Olive Loaf Day because Kevin Powell, K. Powell, his producer, loves Olive Loaf, and so does Mary Vanderbilt.
I mean.
And Olive Loaf became a thing. So Olive Loaf obviously was added to the morning crew.
Wow. I like this.
Yeah.
I like this new vibe.
Yeah, it's the morning crew.
You guys are just really rocking out here.
Yeah, foot cheese, undergarment, and Olive Loaf. Those are the three main components.
But apparently they're just in a room pretending to do a radio show. Is that?
Yeah.
It gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah. When Cochran comes on downstairs, they take over this studio because no one's in here.
So they just
do a radio show up here.
Play among
between 5 and 10.
Okay.
For no one.
And
they just
even...
do it they do, they do it. They just they take over
I
this
mean,
studio.
I feel like I'm in a weird Muppets episode or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Foot Cheese's show? Cuz I don't even
no.
know.
No, there's,
oh, so
there's,
who's
I think it's there,
there's just like there's an unknown figure.
Oh, an unknown. Oh, the unknown DJ.
Yes.
The unknown DJ.
A bag over
oh,
his
we
head.
Were we were talking about.
His name is Shadow Bags.
Shadow Bags.
Yeah.
Shadow All right. Bags. Oddly, he used to do traffic for that company. okay, so Shadow Bags.
I like the name Shadow Bags.
Okay, Shadow Bags.
He's
see,
like the weird.
See, Jen is part.
I know.
See,
I'm getting into it now.
Yeah. You're passing judgment on us, and it took you 32 seconds to come up with a character.
I'm like Shadow Bags. It's really taken over.
It's the Shadow Bags Morning Zoo, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So, Jen, we have to break.
Okay.
We really accomplished a lot talking about you there. But now you know the whole team.
I know the team, and we need to make little figurines, T-shirts, the whole
right.
bit.
It's really interesting to come up here between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. right here on the 7th floor.
Oh, it must be
and
crazy.
Walk into where Dan is and to watch what happens in this room.
Right.
It would be good if they could do a double streaming. They could stream Cochran on one thing and then Shadow Bags and Foot Cheese and company on the other stream.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Never leave my house. Just listen and watch.
All right. Jen.
Yes.
You are understudying in a play.
I am.
Called The Play About My Dad.
I am.
At the Great Raven Theater.
Which you know.
I've worked with those guys many times.
You certainly have.
And they're awesome. And the show runs through November 28th.
Yes.
And we want to talk about it. Now, you did already appear once.
I did.
Now, you're an understudy. And we have to explain when we come back. Kind of explain what an understudy. I'm sure that my listeners know what an understudy is.
B team.
B team.
If you're lucky. I'm like C team.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I was a B team at this station for about 27 years.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I've been a B team in my life for about 40 years. All right.
All right, everybody. Yeah. All right. Well, we got a break here, and I'm sure that the listeners are like, thank God. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll come back. Jen Bosworth, and we're going to talk more with Jen. Morning. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. And my great producer, Dan Shigeru, is here. And in the newsroom is Esmeralda Leon. And my guest is the wonderful Jen Bosworth. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Back after a long time not being on the show.
I know. I missed it. I'm liking what I'm seeing here.
Cool.
Here.
All right.
You guys are really rocking and rolling.
Well,
good team.
You know,
you got a good team.
In all seriousness, I adore the two people that I work with. So
that's
you know,
fantastic. You can
that's
tell.
Pretty much it.
Yeah.
And I'm having a great time doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about. The play about my dad.
Yes.
You are currently an understudy.
Yes.
With the show at the Raven Theater. Tell me about the play and how you got involved.
So my, it's so funny to say my agent, but my agent called and said, you know, you have an audition. And I went in and didn't hear anything. And then they're like, well, you know, and I clearly did not get the part. But she called and she's like, well, they really like you. And they want you to be an understudy. And they want you, the actress can't go on October 25th, which is final preview. Will you go on? I said, sure, I'll go on. I've never understudied before, so understudying for people, I'm sure people know, but you're basically the substitute if something goes wrong. You're right. The B team, really. Right. And that's okay. I've never done it before. It's extremely challenging because you don't get to rehearse with anybody. So it's like basically if you're on a basketball team, you never get to go on the court unless you play at home in your backyard, and that's not the same.
Is now they didn't give you like a during any kind of rehearsal, they never let you shadow the other actress.
No.
See,
I know.
I direct, and I wouldn't do that to an understudy.
Right. It was a terrifying experience because I thought, what am I doing? I mean, and I haven't acted in an ensemble piece in over 10 years. So I'm there in a theater. I'm like, I have no clue what's happening. And I think they just assume, oh, you can just do it. But I did, but it was frightening. You know what I mean? It's frightening to think, oh.
Now, what you've been doing, for people who might not know, you have been doing stuff on your own. You've been doing storytelling.
And I have a solo show that I've done that is a one-woman show, and I love it.
Which is great,
thank you. But it's totally different.
Yeah.
As you know, ensemble theater is about being on stage with other people.
Yeah.
And when you're just thrown in, I mean, it does. It triggers every high school fear of like, the cool kids, and I'm sort of on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what?
During rehearsals, let me ask you this. Yeah. During the rehearsals, did you just kind of like sit in the house and make notes and stuff and watch?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's an isolating experience.
It is. Yeah.
Because you're like, so I mean, I have so much respect now, seriously, for people who on basketball teams or anything are on the bench and watching and waiting for their turn.
Right.
And it's a hard thing. It's not, you know, it's not... It's an ego. You really have to be humble and say, well, I'm going to help out if I'm needed.
Now, tell me about the play.
So the play is about Hurricane Katrina. I had the cast on here on Friday night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I said, come on, cast. So they came on. But it's about Hurricane Katrina in Mississippi. And it's about a father and daughter and telling the stories of the people that were in the storm.
Okay.
It's a beautiful storytelling piece. The acting, I think, is phenomenal. And
who's the author?
Her name is Boo Killebrew.
Boo Killebrew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lovely human being. Very beautiful woman. And she wrote this play. And it's interesting because there's a lot of actors in it. Most of the actors in it are in their 20s.
And oh, man.
I don't know about this anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not. I just turned 40 in October.
Oh, that's nice. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I made it. And thank you. And I got to be honest. It's challenging to be around 20-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what I'm not aware anymore of what it's like to be a 28-year-old. And I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I directed the last show I directed was a couple of years ago, and it was a remount of Black and Blue.
Right. And they were young, right?
Yeah. We had to recast some of the parts. And and I'm 10 years older than you. So,
right.
So it's
real
it's even weirder.
Yeah. It's
you know,
a real
being,
strange.
Being like at that point, I was, 46.
At
God, when I was 48. And so, directing people who I literally
could be your
could
kid.
Be my kid.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So
it's real weird. So I'm happy for the opportunity. Love The Raven.
It's a great theater. Mike Manandian is an incredible dude.
So, so generous, kind.
Yep.
Love it. And but I have a lot of respect for people who are understudies, for people that are placed.
It's tough, man. It's tough. Now, and the other thing that people have to realize now, they knew that this actress was going to be out for one of their previews. Okay. Which is the case a lot of times.
Right.
Like, so you know someone is going to be out, then you bring someone in.
Right.
But you are an understudy for that role. Are you understudying just that one role?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's, I know, people understudy three roles.
I know, four it's crazy. Isn't that crazy?
And you don't get any credit. I mean, I know we don't do this for the credit, but you still get
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that is not appreciated in the world of acting. The understudy is not appreciated.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. It's a thankless job.
Totally.
And the other thing about it is that inevitably someone is going to be pissed off that you're in the show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
someone,
I know what you mean.
Someone came, especially if you're understudying a big role, someone came to see that show. Maybe they know the actress.
Right.
maybe they were like, oh, I've seen this actress in other stuff, and I can't wait to see her in this. They show up, and there's an insert in the playbill that says, this role will be played by so-and-so.
Yeah.
And that person inevitably goes, damn it.
Right. And that is a really hard.
It sucks.
It's so hard to be in that position. And I do feel the feeling of like, oh, I'm paying my dues again.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
But that's what you wanted to do, right? You said you wanted to get back into it.
Right. And that's what you got to do. And so I was like, that's what I will do.
And the other thing about it is you're on call.
Yeah.
Essentially all weekend.
And Thanksgiving. I mean, that whole weekend, I couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
And but you know what? It is what it is. And I learned a lot. And I also, I know what it means to be professional. I know what it means to show up, even if it's thankless. And I think that something in my 20s, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to be a star.
Yeah.
I'm going to be my own show.
And by the way, Jen spent some time in L.A.
I did.
For people who don't know this. And Esmeralda, you know this, right? That she was Nicolas Cage's assistant.
I think so.
Yeah, for many. For
sounds
six,
familiar.
6 years.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And when I was in my 20s, I thought, oh, I'm gonna be a star by the time I'm 30, and I'm going to just treat everybody. I remember I was lucky enough like to be on to be on ER here.
Yeah.
And I thought I was so cute, and I was like making jokes and things, and the DP came over to me and said, I'm going to give you a little tip. You're wasting like $5,000, you know, a minute that you're doing this, and you'll never work again. So if I were you, I would, like a cat might say, keep your mouth shut and just do your job. And I learned, So I don't do that
anymore. There certainly is a pecking order. There's no question about it. And we've talked about, and you've written about your experiences in LA and how humbling and soul sucking it can be.
It can be very lonely.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm not there. And I also, I have compassion for these kids.
Yeah.
Because they think that everything is going to just really work out for them.
But on top of that, and Esmeralda, you know, we've told a lot of these stories on the air. And if you haven't heard them, you should talk to Jen about some of the stories that she has about Nicolas Cage.
I'm sure there's many.
Yeah. Just tell her the deli one.
Okay,
real quick.
So I was an assistant, and I frequently had to answer questions that he would, you know, ask me, and they would get progressively weirder. So it'd start off like normal, like, Jen, what's the capital of, you know, of Russia or something like that. You know, just questions I might ask myself if I had an assistant. But then they were like, Jen, do me a favor. What's my phone number? I'm like, wait a minute. You know, he didn't know his own phone. Okay, fine. And then literally a question. He called me on Sunset Boulevard into his office and said, Jen, what's a deli? And I said, excuse me? What's a deli? Like, what happens there? Like, what goes on? And I didn't know what to say. And I said, a deli? Deli's like a diner with a more Hebrew flair. Like, I didn't know what to say. Like, and you don't want to make the person feel dumb.
Right.
But he was like, oh, okay.
Thank you,
what's
Jen.
What's a deli? Thank you so much.
Okay, we have to break. That's Jen Bosworth. She has many more stories. And lots of stuff that she just did and lots of stuff that she's going to do. And she'll tell you all about that coming up right here on WGN News is next. Morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. See, Dan, I got the number right this time. you can check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us there, best way to stay connected. Also check out all of our podcasts, WGNradio.com and at iTunes. Jen Bosworth is live in studio. Great performer, actress, writer, storyteller, and currently serving as understudy in a play called The Play About My Dad.
Absolutely.
At the Raven Theater.
At the Raven.
And it runs through?
Just through the 29th, I think. And
okay.
I'll be on call on Thanksgiving.
You're on call.
I mean, they only have to give you 8 hours.
8 hours notice, and you got to be at the theater and then get
just
ready
go.
To go on.
Yeah, just go. I mean, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. I've never understudied. No, I was an understudy, but I never went on.
But acting in general is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing. I don't know why anyone does it.
Well, you got into it.
I know. But I don't know Why?
By the way, Esmeralda, if you would like to spot Jen Bosworth in one of the Nicolas Cage classic films of all time,
The Wicker Man.
Yeah. She's in the Wicker.
I haven't seen that. I want to see it. I really want to see it now.
Okay. Not the bees.
Esmeralda, it is movie magic.
Oh, I've seen clips.
Oh, with the cage on his head and the bees and the crazy
punches
cross-eyed
those ladies.
Twins. Yeah. I know.
He's wearing a bear. Punches those he's wearing like a bear suit.
I'm in the police station wearing... They put me in a turquoise corduroy blazer that was like 17 sizes too small. And I'm like, it's a horrible situation. It did not go well for me. And they cut. I think I had a line and they cut it. And oh, it was.
You're in it though, right?
Like, I'm in it. You can see me.
Okay.
Oh, you'll see me. Okay. You'll be like, who's that stuffed sausage in that turquoise blazer? That would be me. That's me, Jen B.
The Wicker Man.
Oh, the Wicker Man. That was quite something. I mean, it's amazing for something that was that ridiculous, the amount of serious money, serious time that goes into these things.
Oh, no, I know. And I remember when it came out, because the original is a great film.
Great.
And a really scary movie, a very creepy movie.
Very.
And God bless America, Christopher Lee is in it. So it's a really great film. Mm-hmm. And when I heard they were remaking it, and then I heard it was Neil LaBute.
Right.
I was like, oh, well, this could be interesting.
Yes.
And at that time, that was before Nicolas Cage.
Really,
I mean, he still was doing some crappy stuff.
But he also was doing good stuff.
Yeah. Now he just does, except for Joe.
Joe was really good.
He was great in Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, then when that thing came out, I was astonished at how horrible it was.
It's like, while we were making it, because I went to Vancouver, it's interesting because you think, oh, well, maybe, you don't know. You're like, this could work.
Yeah.
And then you're like, when you see the final thing,
yeah,
it's horrifying.
Well, let me, did you go to the premiere?
I did.
Okay, so, and it's, by the way, for those who, people who are just turning in, Jen Bosworth, we're going to get to some of the other things that you can see her in, and besides the stuffed sausage in Wicker Man costume. But she worked with Nicolas Cage as a personal assistant for 6 years in L.A. And so you went to the – what was that like? I mean, if you knew it was – did everybody involved, okay, including Nicolas, know it was a turd?
I think I, like, blocked it out. But on some level, I think even he knew because definitely Neil LaBute knew.
Yeah.
And I think Nick knew. The most blatant sort of bizarre premiere in that way was National Treasure 2, I think. We went to the premiere, and his manager at the time, I mean, it was so poorly received in this premiere, but his manager felt so bad, he jumped up and gave it a standing ovation.
Oh, God.
To try to get the crowd going.
God.
And Nick definitely knew then that this guy was like jumping around with a standing ovation, and we were like, Jerry, sit down.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because he was overcompensating.
Yeah, clearly.
It was like a very sad moment.
Wow.
But Wicker Man, I think there was laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that kind of masked, and I think Nick might have been like, wait, I did a comedy called The Wicker Man. You know what I mean? So that was an interesting.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time in
my
life.
So you came back from L.A. and you decided you wanted to do your own thing.
I did.
Became a writer and a storyteller.
I did. And so there's so many venues around the city where you can read your own writing now. You know, the sort of the a la drinking and writing guys. But, you know, a lot of places that are free for people and they ask you to perform. Some are open mics where you could just show up. But the ones I tend to do are booked. But they're not. It's not stand up. It's somewhere in between stand up and like dramatic readings or something like that of essays. And it's usually first person narrative. So you're reading true stories. So someone, and I always try to get you involved, someone like yourself would knock it out of the park because it's like true stories. And you have so many of those that are hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking of Kickball Charlie, we call him.
You call him Kickball Charlie. I can't tell you the guy's real name.
No. Don't tell me.
But
he had a, you know.
He had a glass eye.
Glass eye. Yeah, so anyway, I tell these stories.
Kickball Charlie.
That's what I call him. He could be another character. Maybe he's the sports guy.
The sports guy on the morning zoo.
Kickball Charlie with the glass eye. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
He would take his glass eye out. This is a guy, Esmeralda, is a guy I went to high school with. And he had a glass eye. And he would take his glass eye out during lunch in the cafeteria and drop it in people's soup and stuff when they weren't looking. And then
fantastic.
They'd go, ah! And he'd go, H-h-h-h-h! And he'd take it and stick it in his mouth
and
clean it,
off.
Get the
yep.
soup off, and then pop it back into his head.
Oh, my gosh.
And he used to have to take it out for P.E.
Right.
You know, remember in the days when you'd go to school as a high school student and they had physical education?
Yes.
Remember those days?
Yes, I do.
Well, anyway, we had P.E., and he used to have to take it out and leave it in the locker. And he was on the football team, and during games, he would have to take it out and leave it in the locker in case, like, somebody would hit him.
Right.
And it would, you know, like, the eyeball would jam into the back
right.
of his skull,
oh, okay.
and he would die.
Right.
So
that's no
so,
good.
He would have to take it out.
Right.
And he would absolutely, every time he took his eye out, he would let everybody know and, like,
right.
open his eyelids. You know, he'd spread his
oh,
eyelids
gosh.
Open so you could see inside of his head.
Yes, real.
It was
a real situation.
Real sanitary, too.
Real sanitary.
Yeah.
What I think is funny is that I just thought, well, how is his depth perception if he doesn't have that eye? But I guess he didn't have any to begin with.
I guess. I mean, he played
football.
It's a glass
eye. He can't
see
through
the
glass
eye. Yeah.
Right.
If he took his eye out, then how is he?
It's not a real eye. But that I for a second was with you there. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, the eye doesn't work anyway. It's a patsy eye.
He did have a patch.
That's right.
But he never wore it. But he was like, you know, when you take.
Do you know what became of him, Kickball Charlie?
You know, I had a friend tell me a bunch of years ago, he graduated when I did, so
yeah.
he graduated in 83, that he...
if it's going to be sad, I don't know.
No, it's not sad.
Oh.
I'm not going to tell you what happened to him. I can tell you off the air.
Okay, great.
But what happened to him didn't surprise me.
Okay.
Because he was a lunatic when he was in high school.
Oh, okay.
He was nuts. He was like a one-eyed lunatic.
So for real lunatic.
Well, no, not really. But I mean, like, what happened to him was like, yeah, this is exactly how I thought this guy would turn out. It's not tragic. He didn't kill anybody. Nothing, you know.
Okay.
But it was like, yeah, that seemed to be the road that one-eyed Charlie was going to. What's his name?
Kickball Charlie.
Right, Kickball Charlie. I'd say, Esmeralda, I'll quickly tell you the story.
Yeah, tell the story because it's Miles' favorite.
It's Miles' favorite story.
Yeah.
All right. We were. This was back in high school, and it was raining out during PE, and our PE coach, who was just like obviously disgusted with life, just didn't want to be there at my high school, and he's like, oh, God, these idiot kids.
Right.
And he'd be like, look, here's the deal. It's raining outside. We were going to go outside and run or do something. So just here, get in the gym, and I'm going to get in groups of six or whatever. And I'm going to give each of you a soccer ball and just, like, kick the ball to each other. You guys do that. Stand in a circle and kick the ball to each other. I'm going to be in the office smoking.
Yeah.
So just leave me alone, you morons. You know, they got me teaching religion classes. I don't want to teach. Because they had, like, coaches and stuff teach religion.
I remember.
I went to Luther North.
Right.
And so they would sit in the back of the room and go, you know, in the religion class, they'd be like, listen, I'm going to
have a Pall Mall.
I'm going to go smoke a Pall Mall. You guys memorize the books of the Bible.
Right.
I'll see you in half an hour.
Right.
So here, take the ball and here, go ahead and just kick it back and forth. I'll be in here, you know, contemplating suicide because I hate my life.
Right.
And
drinking myself to death.
You all suck.
Right.
You know. And by the way, don't kick the ball hard. Do not kick the ball hard. Do not kick the ball hard. If I see anybody kick the ball hard, you guys are just going to pass it back and forth. Little passes, little passy pass back and forth. Do not kick the ball at full strength. Do not, I repeat, do not kick the ball hard. If anybody kicks the ball hard, you're getting a detention, and that's it. All right, fine. So we're standing there like idiots. Now, meanwhile, the dude with the glass eye, like, didn't hear this speech because he forgot to take his glass eye out of his head. So we had to run back to the locker room and pop out his eye and put it in the locker. So while he's off popping his eye out and sticking it in the locker, that's when the gym teacher was like, listen, don't kick it hard. If you kick it hard, you're going to get a detention. So the dude with the one eye comes back, all right, and we're all – and he's in my group
of
six.
Of course.
You know, we're like, this is great. This rain outside, this is what my parents are paying money for me to go to the school.
Right.
Private high school, nice private Lutheran high school, and I'm kicking a ball back and forth with a bunch of morons.
Right.
So we're just kind of like,
Oh, a little tappy kick. Oh, this is great. You know, and we're all just like, so he comes back. One-eyed Kickball Charlie comes back. And obviously was not there. Now, on the ceiling of the gymnasium that we're in, and it's still exactly the same one.
We had the same gym.
There are these cages that would hang down with lights in them, like big light bulbs. And a cage would surround them, like a metal sort of cage would surround them. And there would be like a hole in that cage so that you can, you know, climb up on the ladder and change the giant light bulb.
Right.
And that hole of this cage is big enough for a soccer ball to get through. Okay. So we're all just kind of there. We don't even think about it. He comes back. One-eyed Charlie comes back. And we're kicking the ball back and forth. And he hauls back. I see him, like, take his foot back. And he's hauling back like he's going to boot the ball like hell. And we're all like, no! Like, everything is, like, in slow motion. No! And, like, he puts his leg back.
He cocks his leg back.
He cocks his leg back to where his heel is at the back of his head. Like, the heel is touching the back of his head. This is how hard he's going to kick the ball. And everything just turned to slow motion. We're like, no!
Oh,
and he, boom! He kicks the ball as hard as he possibly can. The hardest kick any human being has ever given a ball. He kicks it. It goes straight up. Straight up. Right through the hole and shatters the glass. The light is shattered. Meanwhile, we move out of the way. Now there's sparks and stuff flying out. Glass is showering down. And here is this one-eyed guy standing there laughing his ass off as this ball is bouncing in slow motion and glass is covering him.
It's like Full Metal Jacket.
It is. It's an image on like a slow motion image of him going, ha, 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 ha. With one eye and glass falling down.
Oh, my
And
God.
The gym teacher opens the door like, what the hell is wrong with you? I told you not to get it. And he gave him like
Charlie.
Kickball Charlie gave him
he got a detention.
Like a week's worth of detention.
It's fantastic.
So, anyway.
I love that story.
So, Kickball One-Eyed Charlie now is on the morning zoo,
Oh, my God.
You can hear him as part of the show for no one. All right, we have to break. When we come back, you have some events coming up.
I got some events.
And you did something last night.
I did something last night. With Mike. Never mind.
No, don't go there.
All right. Won't go there.
Morning. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. My guest is Jen Bosworth. Jen, are you planning on doing what you always do when you come here? Are you going to interview me?
Yes, I have my questions all written out.
Okay, so you're going to turn the tables and interview me.
Tables.
We'll do that later.
Yep.
But you were just telling me off the air that you just had a big audition for a movie.
I did, called Bad Santa 2.
Bad Santa 2.
Billy Bob Thornton reprising his role.
Mm.
And it's hilarious. I love Bad Santa.
Okay.
You didn't?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. A lot of people are shocked that I didn't like
it.
But
you just thought it wasn't your thing.
I thought it was real mean-spirited and not very funny. It's not that I'm not into dark humor.
You just thought it was mean-spirited.
I thought it was mean, and it just didn't make me laugh.
Yeah.
I thought the first 10 minutes was hilarious.
Right.
The opening credits.
Yes.
With him puking and all that stuff. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes. But when he gets into being mean to people,
it's to me, and I know that like the whole thing is about Billy Bob Thornton's character's kind of journey into not being a jerk anymore, and it's through this friendship with this little chubby kid.
But you didn't like it.
They were so mean to that kid
in
that movie.
They were so mean to that kid. And he's a kid.
And he's a chubby kid. And you know, it's an easy target. And I just didn't think it was funny.
Yeah.
But I'm just, evidently, I'm overly sensitive. By the way, I looked up who directed this movie, the second one.
Yeah.
It's Mark Waters. Now, let me explain Mark Waters.
Okay, explain.
Mark Waters directed Freaky Friday and Mean Girls.
That's your guy.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe this will be good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get it.
I think Mark Waters is great. Mean Girls is one of my favorite movies of the early 2000s. That was back when Lindsay Lohan was awesome.
And just amazing and beautiful.
So how'd you get this? Your agent?
My agent said, They want to see you for Bad Santa too.
That you got to take that.
I said absolutely, and they said, "Well, there's some, you know, some sexiness in it." I said, "You know, that's okay. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah,
it's Billy Bob Thornton. You know, I mean, I don't know.
So you auditioned.
So yeah.
Did
so,
you audition for Mark Waters? Did you audition? Was it on camera? Did you?
It was on camera.
It was on camera
for the LA person.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to hear, but I. That was it was so fun because it was this character that's this frumpy security guard who then gets wild in the sack. And I thought, that's for me.
Okay.
That is for me. So
I could see you doing something like
that.
Yeah.
So I just really I hope I get it. So that there have been some really fun ones. Remember my lyric opera audition? I never
yes.
told you how it went.
Well, yeah, because the last time you were here, you were going to audition for the lyric opera.
It was horrific.
Oh, no.
I showed up. I went to my voice lessons. I did
all right, hang on. We have to break.
Okay.
All right. We have to break for the news.
We will
but
break.
Hold on. We'll tease and talk about the nightmarish lyric opera audition
Absolutely.
That Jen Bosworth went on.
Absolutely.
Much more. All right. We got to break. The news is next on WGN. All right. All right. All right. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi, everybody. And we are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. Esmeralda Leon in news, my great producer Dan Shagru, and my guest is Jen Bosworth, tremendous person, pinch hitter here at WGN, and a great actress, writer, performer. And the last time you were on the show,
yeah,
it was the eve of an audition that you were going to go on.
Oh, yeah.
For the lyric opera. Now, I've known you a long time, Jen.
Yeah, yes.
And I can comfortably say this, I would never have expected you...
Yes.
To audition for the lyric opera.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
So,
me neither, dude.
I'm interested in knowing how that turned out for you. What was it for and all that?
It was for The Merry Widow, which is starring. It's going on now.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in it. It's still proceeding.
Well, I guess we know how the audition went.
And Renee Fleming, a big opera singer, is the star of it. And my agent called and said, yeah, they're looking for someone who can act and sing a little. And I'm like, that's me. So I get all gussied up, go down there to the lyric on, you know, Wacker and Washington or whatever. And I get there and I go and I sign in and I'm all looking good. I've had my voice lessons and I get there, and the woman who's going in before me, I make the mistake of saying, "Hey, are you an opera singer?" She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Okay."
For the same part.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And I'm singing Rodgers and Hammerstein's "The Stepsister's Lament," and she's singing an opera, and I'm like, "That's okay, that's okay." Other woman comes in who's going after me. Are you an opera singer? Yes, I am.
God.
I've been singing opera since I was about 8. And I'm like, oh my, what do I do? Do I run away? And I went in there and I did horribly. I couldn't breathe. And when you can't breathe, you can't sing. It was horrible.
Well, when you walked in,
it was
bad. It just like a were you on stage or were you?
It was in like a rehearsal room. There was like 4 people and a video camera. And no smiles, ready to be blown away by some opera. And I'm like, why would a woman want a girl? You know, like not opera at all.
What time of day did you have your do you remember what time you were?
Yeah, it was like, my thing was like at 11:50 a.m.
Okay, that's not bad.
No.
I was going to say, if it was 4 in the afternoon, you know what I mean? Because 4 in the afternoon, it's like they've seen 80 people.
Yeah. It was bad. But it was bad at 11:50. They probably wanted to call it a day right then and start drinking after my performance. It was really bad. But it was one of those things where I walked out of the opera house and it just started pouring.
Oh.
Then I'm a drowned rat, mascara running down my face.
Oh.
And I just started crying walking down Wacker. And I'm like, you know what? I showed up. I did it. But it was horrible. It was one of those things where you're like, I don't know how I did not pass out during that.
What'd you tell your agent? Did you say anything to your agent?
I said, she asked how it went. And I said, well, let's just say the day ended with me with mascara running down my face at Chipotle. Like, does that tell you how it went? With like, you know, or no, it was like Qdoba with some queso sauce. Like, that's how my day went. She laughed. And she said it wasn't that bad. I said, oh yes, it was. So that, it didn't, I, You know what? I did not get the part.
Okay. Didn't get the part. Now, how do you feel about your audition for Bad Santa 2? Do you think
better.
You did well?
Much better. It's a fun scene. It was actually four scenes. Four fun scenes.
Did they give you a whole script or just sides?
Sides, but okay. A lot of them.
Okay.
And it's this fun character, and she's sassy, and she's just sort of vulgar, and I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Good. Well, that was a good experience.
And you know who read with me?
Who?
My husband, Miles.
What?
He did. When he's not in front of a camera, when he's just, he like can really let go, and he was having fun, and it sounded really good.
He read with
yeah,
you?
He did.
That, wouldn't it be ridiculous if he got a part?
No, you know what? I would have a real problem. I would go back to the opera and be like, can I have a job? Because, and he has a great voice.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see it happening. They're like, you know, you are all right.
You're fine, but how about that Miles guy?
That guy who read with you, he should be the star. Oh, that's just my luck.
So anyway, tell everybody about SA Fiesta. You had the sixth birthday party.
SA
tell everybody
Fiesta
what that is.
SA Fiesta is one of these live lit shows.
Yeah.
It happens the third Monday at the Bookseller Cafe, good old Lincoln Square.
Lincoln Square.
I like Lincoln Square.
I do too.
And it is a...
I used to get drunk there all the time.
At which one?
Ricochet's.
Oh, right. Ricochet's right
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ricochet's.
Yeah, I spent a month there one night.
Yeah.
Hello, exactly. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. What the hell? Okay.
Yeah. Right near your...
Davis Theater.
Yeah.
Yep.
So right there. And it is lovely. You go there. It's free of charge. And you see people. And it's very... They're very talented people that are reading these usually hilarious and touching stories.
And last night was the sixth anniversary?
Yeah. And I did a hilarious story about the death of my mother.
That's hysterical. That is hysterical.
And, yeah. And so it's, I like doing these things. Chicago is a great
city. Well, you're
city.
Great at it.
Oh, thank you.
You are great at it.
Chicago nurtures us. It really does.
I really didn't know that there was as vibrant a storytelling scene until I met you.
Yeah.
And had you guys in. The first time. When was it? When did I,
it was
can you remember?
It was years ago.
Yeah.
It was probably 2009, I think. And I started listening to you in 06, so maybe 8. And you had us on the Chicago Story Collective.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, we talked about a show that we were doing at Town Hall Pub, and you had us on. And then from there, yeah, but there's so many shows. If you just go online and look up live lit shows, all these shows will come up. And some people, some pretty, you know, like... pretty like famous people will come back and do some of these shows.
And there's a lot of venues that storytelling takes
oh,
place.
Oh, yeah.
And Esmeralda, because Esmeralda used to work at the Hungry Brain.
Oh. Yes.
And did they have those kind of live lit things, storytelling things there?
We did. We had a few. We had a couple things.
Is that where that talk show was? You, me,
yes.
Everybody? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're doing one. Brendan's coming to town to do another one. Brendan's coming to town to do another one right on Thanksgiving week, right?
Yes, the 25th.
Are you going to be
the Hideout?
There?
I will be, yes.
Oh, I like the Hideout. The Hideout does a lot of live lit stuff now.
Yeah, they're a great venue.
I love the Hideout.
By the way, Esmeralda, Brandon's going to be on the show.
Great.
Yeah, so whatever. Oh, you sound thrilled.
Wow.
I mean,
bring your cheese
see
egg.
Him again?
Bring your cheese egg and your...
foot cheese.
Oh, yeah.
No, pet egg.
Pet
Isn't
egg.
That called a pet egg? Right?
Yes, pet
cheese
egg.
Cheese egg. I mean pet egg.
Cheese egg.
Oh, sounds like a nightmare. Anyway.
Hey, put your pet egg behind your cat and see what he does.
Yeah.
See what she does. See what Smokey does with the egg.
I feel like she's not going to care. She's pretty nonchalant about it. She'll be like, yeah, whatever.
I'm just concerned that cats really are afraid of cucumbers.
But if they are, that's amazing. And someone's got to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, you know, I think Mumford & Sons are on the case.
I heard. Mumford & Sons.
They're working on it right now.
Mumford.
I think that's
Marcus Mumford is really...
That's their new concept album is all about cats and cucumbers.
Yeah, you know what? That is. Yeah. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll still cry. I cry at any of their songs.
Do you?
Oh, it could be about, like, sticks in the road. And I'm like, oh, God, they're so beautiful.
Now, so last night was the SA Fiesta sixth birthday. And the week before...
What was that?
You did the Salon 43
I did.
Legacy. Tell me about that.
So that was at another local watering hole, the Black Rock Pub.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you... And that's with a theater company called The Plagiarists. And they do... theater, but they also put on a salon. So there was people singing. It was cool. free of charge.
Yeah.
People singing, people spoken word, a guy who's a rap artist, all kinds of people. And I told a little story myself. And that was really cool. That was a two-night event. And it's great because these people, there's so much talent in the city.
Again, one more time with the website that people can check out.
Okay,
this live lit.
So if you go to on Facebook, if you just type in Chicago Storytellers, there's a whole page, and that will list all the events. So Chicago Storytellers on Facebook, and then if you type in Google, if you just put Live Lit Chicago, there's like everything will pop up.
Cool.
So just Live Lit. It just stands for Live Literary Events, you know?
Right.
So anyway, it's a blast.
Cool. All right. Now, I have to, before we break here, we've got weather, we got traffic, and then we're going to come back and you're going to interview
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Jen comes in, turns the tables. I we have to hear the story that you were mistaken for Kelly Clarkson. I must hear this.
Okay. Do you like Kelly Clarkson?
I do.
I do, too.
Yes.
I'm at a little cafe we call Dollop in Evanston, and Who's Your Mama Pie is next door. And I'm sitting there, and a gentleman about, I don't know, 30 years old, maybe late 20s, I'm just typing away, in sweatpants stained with hummus, by the way.
Oh,
good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Real rock star attire and hair all akimbo. You know, I didn't know what was happening. And he's like, excuse me. And I'm like, I'm literally supposed to be writing and I'm watching true crime at the Dollop with my earphones. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I just have to ask you, are you Kelly Clarkson? I said, yes, I am. He said, what? Really? No, are you Kelly Clarkson? And I said, no, I'm not. And then he said, you almost made my day. And I said, well, I'm glad I could help you almost, you know. But he really thought, and I said, yes, I am. I think it's best if people do that, you just say yes.
Okay. First off, you don't look like Kelly Clarkson.
I don't know.
He
was convinced.
I mean, I can kind of see it. I can kind of see it.
He was convinced.
But... Well, the whole you almost made my day thing.
Isn't that brilliant?
Oh.
You almost made my day. I'm like, well, I'm glad I could help you.
Yeah.
Almost. Now get out of here so I can watch the husband killed the wife show.
Right.
Because they always do.
So I thought you were Kelly Clarkson, but you're just some chick with hummus on her pants.
Right. It was a terrible day. It was not fun.
That wasn't the same day that you auditioned for the lyric.
No,
was
but
it
might as well been.
God.
I was like,
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All I know is that he was convinced. And I was like, and until I said no. And then he was like, and he was mad at me.
Of course. He was mad at you for not being Kelly Clarkson.
I was like,
how dare you not be Kelly Clarkson?
I'm like, look, blame my mother. I don't know what's happening. You know
how
what I mean?
Dare you?
Right. So that was that. I get weird stuff happens to me.
Have you ever gotten anything out? Anybody else?
Like, Elvis.
Wait. Hold on. Elvis?
Yes. Someone, Elvis, Jay Leno,
Are you aware that these are male?
Yes. Look, I know.
Celebrities?
I know they're men. Who else? Someone thought I was Kim Deal of the Breeders once.
What?
Yeah. weird people. I get weird people. Never, you know, like, oh, you look like, you know, Kate Winslet. It's always like,
yeah.
You look like that weird lady that plays the neighbor Mrs. Poole on Family Matters.
Yeah. You know? Esmeralda, you ever get anybody? Has anybody ever said you?
No, I don't get anybody.
No. Dan, you were the Matt Damon thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten that.
Matt Damon.
What about you?
Well, it was a radio DJ at a station I used to work at who couldn't remember my name, so he just called me Matt Damon.
That's pretty good if he's going to call you a name.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have called you Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Hold on a minute. Oh. So,
what about you?
I've gotten, I used to get Anthony Kiedis.
Yes.
The lead singer of Live.
Yes.
The guy from Live. Ed, what's his name?
Kowalczyk.
It's weird you know his last name, but
he's in Fight Club.
Oh, he is?
He's the waiter who tells him not to order the soup because they did things in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got that,
Oh, when that album, when that Thunder and Lightning Let's Scream because there's a baby in a placenta.
Uh-oh.
Hitting the earth. What the hell was the name of that?
Yeah,
the name of that? Lightning Crashes was the song. What the hell's the name of the album?
Tears in Heaven? No, something.
Tears in Heaven is Eric Clapton.
Angels walked out in the hospital hall.
Well, yeah, placentas hitting the floor. Lightning strikes or lightning crashes. That's the song. Muse is a band. Throwing copper, right?
What?
That's Throwing Copper.
Wow.
Throwing Copper. Now, when that album came out, I was bartending at Ginger's Ale House.
Okay.
And I was thinner.
Right.
I was clean shaven. And I would get that all the time. When the song, I Alone Love You, I Alone, when that song was popular, I'm not kidding. I would get that constantly.
That's kind of cool.
I guess. I didn't hate it. You know, I mean.
Better than getting you look like Jay Leno.
Right.
You're a woman.
You're not Kelly. How dare you not be Kelly Clarkson? All right, we got a break. Yeah. Hey, that's me singing. You know I sang this song? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, yeah.
That was your song.
And I would do that for karaoke.
No.
Sometimes. Yeah. I used to get Jimmy Fallon, too.
I can see it.
I got Jimmy Fallon a lot back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because I had my hair all spiky and stuff.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fat bastard like I am now. So, you know what's really funny is it's not funny, but when I was sick, I lost like 35 pounds.
Yeah, you looked horrible.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry.
But I've gained all of that back.
Right.
Here's something I want everybody to know. If you quit drinking, that's a good thing. You're going to eat a lot more.
Right.
I just want you to know that.
I'm surprised you didn't start smoking.
No.
You have? Maybe you have, and I just
No. I quit smoking a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But
no. The only thing that I didn't quit doing was eating. In fact, I'm a professional eater. I should be in Eaters Anonymous right now.
But you look good.
Well, thank you. I look like I don't look emaciated and drunk.
You didn't look drunk. You did look emaciated.
Yeah, I was.
You're doing better. Yeah, you're looking for people
it.
That can't see him. He looks great.
Thank you. And I've got even with the mustache
you
that I'm
great.
Growing for Movember. I appreciate that.
You got color in your cheeks.
Well, good. Thank you.
Like Santa.
All right. Oh, I look like Santa now. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I have to look like Elvis and Jay Leno,
that's right.
You look like Santa.
All right. All right. All right. Now you interview me. You always do it when you come in here.
Yes.
You switch the numbers.
Turn the tables.
The hell it is. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Jen Bosworth interviewing.
You don't know. I don't get my song or.
Oh, geez.
That's okay.
Wait,
we installed the new system.
There's a new system. Hang on. Hold on. No. Hold it. I'll find it.
All right. Just sing me a live song.
Sing. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Is this my. This one's not in it.
Oh,
no,
that's like my opera. That's my opera.
That was your opera audition. It's called News thing.
News beat.
These are in alphabetical order, right? No.
Never mind.
Okay.
I'll just like. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go
this
ahead.
This is Turning the Tables with Nick D.
Okay.
Nick D, when you need some inspiration, where do you turn?
Wait. Hold on.
Oh. I think we might have found it.
Wait. Hold on. I've just realized where it was.
Okay.
Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait.
We're almost there.
Oh, no. Okay, forget it.
Never
Sorry,
mind.
Go ahead. What was the...
When you need inspiration, where do you turn?
Ooh.
Where do you turn when you need to light that fire?
I need inspiration. Wow. Well, it depends. I guess it depends on what I'm being inspired for.
Okay. Let's say you're feeling like you need to get pumped up for work or... I mean, you love your job, so you don't really need that.
Saga.
Excuse
no, I'm kidding. it depends. I mean, music is a big one.
So you love,
And I love to watch really funny people do really funny stuff. That inspires
me. Okay. That makes sense.
Like most recently, it's anything that has to do, their show is over with it, but anything that has to do with Key and Peele would inspire me.
Right. Got it. Those are some. Do you like the holidays?
No. I like Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I'm not a big holiday dude.
Okay.
I was when I was a kid because I think like Christmas especially is for kids.
Right. Okay.
But it's a time, you know, this whole like depression thing. People get very depressed during the holidays. Yeah. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
So I agree. I'm not a huge holiday guy, but I do enjoy Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe you can call me on Christmas because I'll be here.
Oh, you're working on Christmas?
I'm working 11 to 2.
Oh, cool.
Okay. What is your favorite movie of 2015 so far?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
I mean, that's not even... There's a lot of good stuff. Let me just say this very quickly.
Yeah.
2015 has been a great year for the movies, and when the movies have been good, they've been really, really, really good. But Mad Max Fury Road is definitely my favorite film so far.
Favorite character from Charlie Brown? Because you loved that movie.
Adored it.
Yeah.
My favorite character from Charlie Brown is probably Linus, but I have a crush on Peppermint Patty.
That's good. I am Peppermint Patty. Okay. So, and then.
Did you get that when you were outside? Did people
No, I just feel like that. She's my spirit animal.
I can totally understand that. Okay. I can totally understand that.
So, and then, what is your biggest pet peeve, Nick DiGilio? Something that really gets your.
Oh, man. I have a lot of them.
Oh. But something that you cannot tolerate where you're just going to, like, lose it.
Probably like ignorance.
Yeah.
Of which there's been a lot over the past like weekend, which is why I had to turn off my Facebook because people were making me crazy.
Yeah.
After what happened in Paris, I would just scroll down and look and go,
stuff.
I have like everybody on my news feed is a moron,
right.
an idiot, and an ignorant moron.
So like
moron.
Ignorant, uninformed.
Well, not necessarily uninformed because I'm uninformed, but I'm talking about just like being ignorant.
Right.
You know?
Okay. So that is your biggest.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you had... And people who say, I could care less.
What'd you say? Oh.
Because I couldn't care less.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less.
Yeah. I have to break. Hold on.
All right.
All right. Did you have more?
No, I'm going to say goodbye.
Oh, you're done.
I'm
okay.
done.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. And you're on Christmas night.
11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
11 p.m. Christmas night to 2 a.m. the 26th.
Yep.
Is that the next time you're on?
So far.
All right, so you can tune in and listen to Jen Bosworth on Christmas night.
Yay.
All right,
thanks,
Jen.
Nick.
It's so great. Make
so
it sooner than
see.
Later, okay?
Okay.
All right, take care. That's Jen Bosworth. We got the news coming up after this.